Hello, everybody. I'm Hank Wilson. Welcome to another Living a True Christian Life. I want to talk today about how many of us are kind of stuck in place. And that's because so many of us are honoring God with our lips, but not our hearts. We become blinded by our traditions. I thought of this because as I watch the news and listen to Christian politicians and some church leaders, I hear the same tired rhetoric time after time. As a result, the church has stopped growing. When you ask why nothing's changed even a little bit over the decades, and the answer was, well, because it's the way we've always done it, and the folks will not like it if it's changed. The church has become stuck in tradition. We're doing and saying things blindly, and church leadership doesn't even recognize how dangerous the path they are walking has become. We pretend to follow the teachings of Jesus, while in reality we are following the teachings of man. Why? Because it's the tradition. It's easier. While having traditions and following traditions are not in and of themselves a bad thing, church leadership has to make certain that the decisions they make are based on sound doctrine and guidance from the Holy Spirit and not personal preferences. And certainly not because, well, that's the way we used to do it, and that's the way we've always done it. That's nonsense. In Mark chapter 7, there's a perfect example of people who are stuck following tradition versus following the Word of God. Section is covered by verses 1 through 13. It's called Followers of Tradition. It tells the story. In verses 1 through 5, we find, the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves, and there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? Well, who were these Pharisees, first of all? They were the keepers of the law, keepers of the traditions. Think of them as modern-day conservative Christian politicians and conservative Christian leaders. The law and traditions they are intent on enforcing and had passed from generation to generation and among the Jews, these form the base of their belief system. Now, one definition of a Pharisee is a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law and commonly held to have pretensions to moral sanctity. Boy, that doesn't sound like most modern politicians today. Everyone has seen folks like this. They stand around and watch everybody else's business. They truly believe they hold the moral high ground. They fashion themselves as the keeper of what is right and what is wrong. And in this case, and they were in constant search to find reasons to criticize Jesus and his followers and to try to bring down his ministry, you know, because Jesus preached the word of God and not the words of men. In verses 6 through 8, Jesus answered them, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandments of men, you hold to the tradition of men. Now Jesus knows that his words will fall on deaf ears. They were truly blinded by their traditions and were not interested in what God had actually commanded. This condition of tradition blindness exists in so many of our churches today. There are those who say, well, we worship the way we do because it says this is how we're supposed to do it. When challenged, they fall back on, well, it says right here in the Bible that under no circumstances can you get them to understand that what they are truly doing is following their own interpretation and not what God intended. Jesus goes on to emphasize this point starting with verse 9. He gives them specific examples of how they have done this. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. There was a time in America's past, and it may be coming true here in the current times and in the future, when the truth of that statement even pertained to some denominations, mostly in the Deep South. The sixth commandment is, you shall not murder. Now, in the past, some Christians used the biblical teaching in Ephesians 6:5 and Titus 2:9 to justify slavery. One of the more outrageous outcomes of slavery was the practice of lynching or hanging slaves. After the abolition of slavery, the practice of lynching African Americans did not end. Churches in the South often did little or nothing to protest and try to stop it. After all, the traditions they had practiced in their churches for years said that African Americans were less than human, so it was not actually murder. Jesus then goes on to give a specific example of how the Pharisees have corrupted the word of God. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. What is going on here is that the law of Moses demands that children honor their father and their mothers. Everyone is aware of that commandment. But over the years, the leaders of Judaism had added a caveat to it. They said, well, that's true, but if you donate money to God through us, religious leaders, then you are released from your requirement of taking care of your parents. This was important because in those days, there were no safety nets for the elderly. Children often took care of their parents. That means they no longer honored their father and mother. They no longer had to honor them. The traditions of the Pharisees had countermanded the word of God. Now, at this point in the gospel, Mark tells us how Jesus takes us all back to what caused the commotion in the first place, that his disciples ate without washing their hands. Boo, his poor people. Jesus lectures them on what actually causes a person to be defiled. Verses 14 through 23 are entitled The Heart of Man and deals with what is important. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The point Jesus is making is that just because a person has been taught one thing repeatedly, that does not necessarily make it right. He is very emphatic with his delivery. Listen to me, he says. He reinforces the idea that he wants their attention in verse 16 when he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In today's church, everyone needs to be certain that the ears are open, that there are no distractions so the word of God can come through loud and clear. That way, if a person does not understand the teachings or a sermon or a message, then like the disciples, it becomes easier to ask God for clarification. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. The disciples were confused. They had spent their lives following the law of Moses and the teachings of the Pharisees, and now it appeared that Jesus was directly contradicting what they had taught. In fact, he was. He wastes no time in hammering home to the disciples exactly the meaning of the words he spoke. The law of Moses and the traditions of the Jews made it clear that there are certain hard and fast dietary restrictions. In fact, to this day, Orthodox Jews follow those traditions. In fact, we're beginning to see a lot of quote-unquote conservative Christians have hard and fast rules about things. They have rules, the kind of foods you can eat, how that food has to be prepared, how to serve that food. If not, then the person who consumes that food is defiled. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because if it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated, thus he declared all foods clean. The phrase Jesus uses, does not go into his heart, is important because the Jews believed the heart was the center of life. Now today, science has shown that a person should avoid certain foods, but the reasons are for physical health and not spiritual health. Whereas the Jews believed that a person who ate those foods was no longer worthy and was unclean. Jesus clearly tells the disciples that is not correct. In verse 20 he says, "And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man." He then explains, "For from within out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, theft, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." When the strict rules of past traditions blind us to the world we live in today, when we behave as sheep and never ask God if the teachings we hear are correct, when we repeat without thought what others tell us, then we are living a life blinded in tradition and often a life without God. In essence, what we are doing is what I see day after day from American Christians. They are honoring God with our lips, but not with our hearts. It's time we reverse that. We need to honor God with our hearts and with our lips. But it's more important that we honor Him with our hearts, that we show people what it means to be living a true Christian life.